It's the Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels. Another amazing week and so on and so forth. Wow, wow, wow. Has there been a huge development in the Donald Trump documents case? You remember the Count Dooku lookalike special counsel Jack Smith was going after Donald Trump because supposedly he had classified documents and the archivist and the DOJ and so on and so forth. The Biden administration, they demanded to take those documents back. And if Trump didn't do this, we are going to end up in a bad situation. And that's exactly the situation that they manipulated into existence. And here we are today. A lot of people don't realize that these estates of former presidents negotiate with the federal government about their archives and their records and their libraries literally for decades. The Nixon family, the Nixon estate, you remember him, Richard Nixon, they're still negotiating with the federal government on some of Nixon's records and files and papers. So maybe, just maybe, we should realize that we're being rooked over here. So over the weekend, there has been viral posts about this whole thing. And what we find out is that supposedly the GSA, I think it stands for the General Service Administration. It's one of those obscure bureaucracies. Let's do this. General Services Administration. How about that? I was right. Basically, what happened was is that these people said to the Trump team in 2021, so this is right after he left, you have six pallets of these documents in Virginia. You need to pick them up immediately. So what happened? The Trump side picked them up. Some of them went to Mar-a-Lago. Some of them went to another secure place in Florida. I forgot where. So this is exactly what the Trump team did. They did exactly what the Biden administration wanted them to do. And we are now finding out that it happens just by serendipitous events that the classified documents that were the genesis of the Mar-a-Lago raid happened to have been in one of those six pallets that the Biden administration forced Donald Trump to pick up. Now, let's play devil's advocate for a second. What are the odds that the Biden administration planted these secret documents in these six pallets and then told Donald Trump to pick them up? This would then explain why we had NARA, which is the archivist for the federal government, and the Biden administration, and the DOJ, and all the other effing morons, then go after Donald Trump, insisting that they knew for a fact that he had classified documents that he wasn't handing over. Now, how would they know that unless they didn't plant them? So you have to stay on top of this. Let's hope this goes somewhere. I hope this whole thing blows up at the Biden administration's feet, and they are just left with egg all over their face. I mean, I hate these people to begin with, but this can't happen to a worse bunch of people on the planet. And then think about this. Speaker Johnson, remember? Oh, we finally got this budget through, not budget, but we got all this funding through for Israel and the Ukraine and the Taiwanese and, oh my goodness gracious, and the Democrats rally around him and say, oh, you're such a good guy. We'll stand up for you anytime, any day. We know that you can play ball. In other words, the Democrats know that Speaker Johnson will do whatever they want him to do. And Speaker Johnson is just another rollover Republican that bends the knee to the woke agenda. He is the one that is a sour, just reprehensible, bottom-dwelling slug. Now, think about it this way, too. This guy is doing this. He's playing ball with the Democrats and the deep state and the rollover Republicans, the Bush Republicans, and the Mitch McConnells, because he knows that at best, Donald Trump is going to have 4 years in the White House. Meanwhile, being in the position that he's in, he could be in Congress for until he's dead. He could be in there for decades more. He's got plenty of more money to launder and plenty of more insider trading to do. And then let's just say, for instance, he does decide to quit. He then gets a massive, massive payout once he retires. He gets a pension. He's, as Speaker, he gets one of the highest pensions the federal government has out there besides Dr. Fauci. So he's got all of this to lose. And what does he have to gain? He's got Donald Trump for 4 years. So he's not there. Now, what else does this tactic do for Speaker Johnson? According to certain insiders that I know, this whole passing of this, of all of this funding, this then opened the doors to the mega donors that support the Trumps, support the Bushes, support the Democrats, the Obamas, the Bidens. You know what we're talking about here. We're talking about the deep state. Those mega donors then decided, hey, Speaker Johnson is on our side. This guy doesn't have a spine, doesn't even have balls. We're going to give this guy money because we know that he's going to do exactly what we tell him to do. That's why he is still doing these things. He is backstabbing the American public because he knows he's going to get a massive payday from all kinds of donors now because he rolled over. So let's take that into account. Going back to the Ukrainian incident, you know, they're supposed to get $61 billion in funding. Well, most of that money stays in the United States because it enables the defense industry, the war industry, to essentially build bigger bombs, right? It's not build back better, it's build bigger bombs. And what does that really mean for us? The United States basically sold the Ukraine junk. They kept the funding here in the United States for the most part. Whatever went over to the Ukraine was laundered back or squandered on various politicians over in the Ukraine. But it's really a bailout for the war industry. It enables the Pentagon to spend thousands or billions of dollars on new toys that they didn't have before and replenish everything. So that's how all of that is working. Then you've got the Ukrainian army chief, Alexander Syrskyaya. I assume that's correct. He's saying that the situation at the front has worsened and we are now experiencing for the first time, I doubt it, what they like to call a tactical retreat. Oh, is that what... a strategic withdrawal. Is that what it is? Oh, we have certain tactical successes in certain areas, he said, but the enemy has engaged up to 4 brigades in these directions and is trying to develop offensive, on and on and on. And the Ukrainian forces are withdrawing to a new defensive line. That means that the Russians are overpowering them. And that also means that this is going to end soon before we have a chance of a world war breakout. That's how all of this is playing out here. I got to stop saying that. It's turning into a verbal crutch. It is a verbal crutch. How about we live with that realization, old Chris Michaels? Get rid of the word that. But moving further along, Biden is now trying to hamstring at least the next 2 presidents by making a 10-year agreement with the Ukraine to fund them, to launder money. You know, FTX went belly up, so we got to find a new money laundering situation that we can take advantage of. And this Ukraine just turns out to be the best place to do it in. They want to drag this war out. They want to create a new Vietnam for Russia. You know, they tried to do it in Afghanistan. They were successful in Afghanistan in the 70s and 80s. They're trying to do it again because this is all about a new global order. They want to create a homogenized, a single monetary system. They want to create a one world government. There, I said it. That's why you have all of these people coming out and saying, oh, we can't have a multipolar world. So if it's not a multipolar world, then what exact world are you trying to create then? Oh, I know, a one world government. They're trying to create a one world religion. They're trying to control the population because, oh, by the way, the G7 is now agreeing, the G7 being the top 7 nations on the planet, right? They're now saying we have almost finalized our plans to completely phase out coal energy. Well, it turns out that coal is possibly, if you get the right type, is possibly the cleanest type of energy. Clean coal. Look that one up. You find amazing things with that. And I know Chi-Chi is just as upset. Quiet all day. But as soon as I get on the mic, Chi-Chi decides to chime in. Can't resist. But how crazy is this situation that we're in? If Russia decides to steamroll the Ukraine, NATO has essentially promised to invade the Ukraine. And once they do that, then the bombs really drop. Then things really go sideways. And if that does happen, well, I don't think it will, I promise you, NATO is probably not going to come out on top. There's going to be an international backlash. These countries are over the idea that all of this, when it comes to Western dominance and NATO being the policeman of the world, that's coming to an end. It may not be tomorrow, may not be next month, but by 2030, I promise you that's going to be it. So they're not going down without a fight. And in order to consolidate the gains of these megalomaniacs, they need to make sure that the presidency of the United States is completely dominated. And just as Kavanaugh, for what it's worth, I never really liked the guy. Remember him when he was going through that whole, he was in a rape train in college, and they brought out this woman who couldn't remember Kavanaugh the day she went to college, the day it occurred, and she couldn't remember the event itself. But we had to have every woman's voice heard. Remember that guy? Well, Justice Kavanaugh is now saying that the decision about Donald Trump's immunity claim, which is basically, as president, I am able to do things. I have presidential immunity. And what they're really referring to here is Donald Trump questioning whether or not it was an honest election back in 2020. As president, he is the guy that is in charge in making sure that the elections of the United States are in fact fair, secure, and honest. So if that guy can't question the elections, then who can? And that's the exact kind of narrative these Democrats and rollover Republicans are trying to shove down our throats. Whatever it says from electronic voting machines, that is the truth. There is no questioning it, and everybody must abide by that, or you're going to end up in prison or have somebody knock at your door, like the FBI. Justice Kavanaugh is essentially saying that if presidents don't have presidential immunity, then all that's going to happen for the next millennia, if not forever, is you will have people going after every single president that they possibly can for every single reason that they don't agree with. So you cannot have this kind of lawsuit going on. Donald Trump, it doesn't matter. It didn't matter if it was Donald Trump or Joseph Biden or Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter who the person is. The real crux of this issue is whether or not presidents have immunity to do what they need to do to make sure this country is safe, elections are fair, and so on and so forth. And if what they consider safe and fair runs counter to the mainstream narrative, like it has with Donald Trump, then it is up to the president. The president has the prerogative to ensure that his hunches are, in fact, one, played out and investigated, but two, whether or not he's right or wrong. And all the leftists like to say that, oh, well, Donald Trump, he didn't have a neat transition from his presidency to Joseph Biden's and on and on. Oh, we can't have... What did he do? Oh, he's a seditionist. He's a fascist. Really? Because when I remember it, he stepped out, he stepped down, and he continued with his life. I mean, they or tried to, because he's still being hindered, incredibly hindered in just living his life. So he did, in fact, do a peaceful transition. I'm sorry that the Democrats don't like it, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes now, isn't it? And I'm going to leave it with this stuff, because my voice is a little shot. I don't know if you can hear that. But in UCLA, they have a medical school, and they are forcing students, that's right, you heard that, forcing students into a health equity class, where fat positivity is promoted. And reading material claims that the medical term of obesity is in fact a slur used to exact violence on fat people. I am really sorry to tell you this, but if you can't put the sheet cake down, you may have an effing problem. Everybody goes up and down. They fluctuate in weight. It is your responsibility to make sure that you eat properly. If you are a big-boned person, if you are somebody that had to go to the Husky section to buy your wedding dress, maybe it's not other people. Maybe it's you. Maybe you should exhibit some control. And it's easy for me to say that. I say that half-heartedly because I don't have an addictive personality. I don't have, like, it doesn't occur to me that, oh gosh, I everything out on this plate I need to eat. There's a cocktail, it's happy hour, I can't leave the cocktail here. Like, it doesn't dawn on me. I don't eat cake, but I can have a brownie if that wanders my way. I can have a cocktail, a beer. It just doesn't faze me. Sometimes people have real honest to God problems and they need to fix those problems. It's once again this whole nonsense about nobody is accountable for their own actions. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never me. I'm the golden child. It's always you and your rhetoric, and you're fatphobic because you won't date me, or you're transphobic because you don't like to date trans people. I mean, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. It's a big tent. Everyone is coming in from different entrances at that big tent. Everybody can probably find somebody. There's close to 8 billion people on the planet. Somebody somewhere is going to find you attractive. Please stop with the victimhood. And this is the person. This is the person's bio about this whole fatphobic nonsense. Mikey. Oh, and wouldn't you know it, the pronouns are she, they. How avant-garde are we? I am a fat liberationist writer, creator, educator, and doctoral student from the Bronx, New York. Oh, of course you are, sweetheart. As a doctoral candidate at the Brown University School of Public Health, I am broadly interested in how racism, anti-blackness, anti-fatness shape healthcare research, promotion, alongside a group of incredible fat activists. I am also a co-host on a podcast on which we re-answer old advice columns from a fat liberationist perspective that realizes the multi-faced intersectional span of lived fat experience. Fat issue, she ends it with, a critical dive into the true realities of social and medical fat phobia, which you can find in Pipe Wrenches magazine. Oh my God. Why is this the reality that we're experiencing? You are a person that can't control your impulses. And instead of being mad at yourself for that, you're mad at the world. So once again, I will give you this sound advice. Please look in the mirror. Do not look in this direction at all. Never, ever, ever. And then finally, will it be a finally? Yeah, it'll be a finally. Judge Joe Brown lambasts Barack Obama, calls him a low-down, scummy bastard, piece of urban trailer park trash. Whoa, I love Judge Joe Brown. I grew up on Judge Joe Brown's show. He was the best. And if you look into his background, he did some amazing stuff. He was with the law team that worked, I think, on Martin Luther King's assassination. So he goes way back. He knows what it's like to go through the struggle, not what's going on today. And he's just laying it out. And it is no way ignorable. He is out there saying a lot of things. This is one of his quotes, and you can thank them for some of the problems with American criminal laws. They negatively impact black folk. This mess was all about people being in jail, first offenders, or for one rock. You can thank Joe Biden for this mess. about crack, even though it seems to have been settled into his household quite heavily. Ooh, what an insult. He then goes on to say, I heard the lowdown, scummy bastard, talking about Barack Obama, say it in front of me. I was in Dover. He was on the podium. He said, Negroes are animals, and they turn the streets into jungles, and they need to be put in zoos where they are safe and can be observed. He said, Negro children are animals, and they turn schools into zoos, and I don't want my children going to a school with Negroes, and it turned into a zoo. And so on and on and on, right? We're dropping M-bombs all over the place. So this is, actually, I don't think that's Barack Obama he's referencing here. I don't know about this article. No, this is actually a Joseph Biden quote. Oh, that's even better. That's the current president now, isn't it? So, I mean, he is really lambasting. Let's see if I get shadow banned for saying the N-bomb here. Well, it's not exactly the N-bomb. It is an old school term. It's not with a hard R. But there you go. Judge Joe Brown, fantastic person. I love him to death. If I ever get a chance to meet him, I would jump on that occasion. And he is just not having it with the Democrats. All right, that's it for me. Chris Michaels, as always, Last Call Podcast. Like me, find me, share me, do what you do. And I will be back tomorrow.